You're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Portions of this broadcast have been pre-recorded.
World Generation Podcast Network presents Fatal 4-Way Radio. Starring Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected, Peacemaker Ken Gay West, and the Swami, Christian from Philly. Brought to you in part by Pro Wrestling Planet. And now, your host, the resident heel, Minister of Sinister.
Much for joining us. It is great of you to do so. I am the resident heel, Minister of Sinister, and I'm sitting here with Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected, Peacemaker Kev Ye West, and the Swami, Christian from Philly. Give it up for the guys. Yeah. The unusual suspects. Welcome to the show, guys. What's going on?
Welcome.
Yeah.
None very much. WrestleMania's getting worse and worse each week.
Yeah. I think we established that maybe a couple weeks back.
All I have to say
is we're just riding on the coattails right now and see what develops out of this. Kevier?
Rest in peace.
No, I'm chilling. WrestleMania does look weird. The shows, we'll get into it. But yeah, it's going to be weird. This one.
Sure.
Last year I was into it last year, and this year I'm kind of feeling like I don't know.
A little different vibe this year. Albert, how are you doing tonight, man?
Man, let me tell you, man, I don't even know what the fuck is going on for WrestleMania. I couldn't even tell you one match that's going on the card right now.
You know why, right? I'll tell you why.
What?
In case you don't know.
Booking you. That's
right. No, not Vince. Pritchard. It's like Christian said. It's a big old bag of dog shit. It's a pile of dog shit. Steaming hot dog shit. But yeah, I mean, this is where we're at right now. I really have, it's one thing when you're watching. I talked about this last week. When you're watching live. And, week after week, and you're watching as it's developing, right in front of you. And then it's one thing when you miss out on a few things, and then you watch just like one show, the pay-per-view, and then, it's like, oh, this is pretty good. But you have to watch it with different eyes, man. Because if you watch it like it's the fan you grew up as, it just might not make sense to you, man. Like the booking, they never explain things that are going on. Shit, storylines get picked up, dropped off. Never even spoken of again. I mean, it's just a bunch of madness. I'm still wondering why Randy Orton is the good guy after he fucking burned Bray Wyatt to the ground, burned his house a couple of years ago.
What are you talking about? Randy's not
the
a good
Fiend.
Guy.
No, Bray Wyatt, the Fiend. Yeah, or I'm sorry, Randy Orton. How's he the good guy? How's Randy Orton the good guy in this?
He's not the good guy. He's
that's just
heel.
How you're watching it. The Fiend is just a scary guy, but he's the babyface.
Oh, hell. You see, I'm lost too. But we'll get into that as the show continues. Or hell, maybe we won't even get into that because fuck WWE right now. And you know what I was watching? I caught myself watching last night. I'm still on this whole deal, where I cut the cord. Now, yesterday, during the day, I thought to myself, there's a way I could watch Monday Night Raw tonight if I wanted to, if I really, really wanted to. I could sign up for, YouTube. They've been bugging me with, 2 weeks or a month or whatever of their free service that's normally like $64.95. They get the freaking ad all the time. I could have signed up for it last night or yesterday if I wanted to and watched Raw. But no, I'm going to stick to my cutting the cord. I'm going to find a different way of watching Raw, and that's just going to be through highlights. That's, frankly, that's all the time they deserve from me, if that at all. So fuck them. When I found myself watching last night, I found myself watching Major League Wrestling from October, whether it was this past October or another October remains unclear to me. Because it was on my Roku channel, on one of the Roku channels. They were showing, you know, MLW, and I tell you what, I was pretty entertained by it, guys. I was entertained by it. So it's like, shit, you know, I can find any kind of wrestling now. There's Lucha Libre on, you know, every other channel on Roku, it seems. Some type of Lucha Libre, Azteca, or there's always something going on. There's plenty of wrestling to watch out there besides WWE.
Mm-hmm.
This is the time to move on from WWE, I'm thinking. Yes, Kevin.
I was thinking about this earlier, and just like from having watched local indie wrestling down here and seeing guys leave, and it's like I was thinking that same thing what you're talking about is how you could like totally just watch indie wrestling exclusively because indie wrestling is better, in my opinion, right now. The indie wrestling I've seen, especially here down in Houston, local wrestling to be exact, you can watch all that stuff on YouTube. And it's way more interesting. And the characters are better, but the thing that sucks about that, the catch-22, is that one day all those guys, if you watch indie wrestling, most of those people that you support and fall in love with are going to leave and go to work for a company that you hate that you're not watching anymore, right? So, like, that's the dream is to go and work for WWE. But then you got, like, Andrade Cien Almas, who gets to WWE. You got Keith Lee. You got guys that get to WWE. You got who's the one that we're always talking, Aleister Black. These guys, these talents that are just so much better than what the WWE treats them like. It's the ultimate death sentence to get to WWE for a lot of these guys.
You know what?
I don't wish that.
It is. I totally agree with you, Kevin, man. And I agree with you, Chuck, that there's so many different options for professional wrestling now. And that's why I haven't been keeping up with Raw. You know what I mean? Like I said, remember last year I was ranting and raving about the YouTube subscription and all this stuff too. It's like, man, dude, like I totally cut from that too, man. I stopped paying it. I'm like, dude, the only thing I really pay for is Monday Night Raw and SmackDown. And I can watch SmackDown on antenna. You know what I mean? Because I have,
right,
you know, all this stuff. But, and then I watch the Raw highlights anyway, but there's nothing really interesting other than, like, what happened last night, which I think we'll get into later, which I saw, and I was pretty disappointed with last night. But I do have a theory about what happened last night on Raw, but we'll get into that, and I already know what you're going to say, Christian. But you know what? You guys are completely right. There's so many different options here, and I find myself on Pluto TV or just on YouTube in general, just regular YouTube, watching, I'm back watching Impact Wrestling a little bit. I'm back watching Ring of Honor when they show that, like on random Saturday nights here in San Antonio. I watched, like I said, I've seen some Major League Wrestling. I've seen local wrestling, of course, and SWE, which is another company out of Dallas, and then some Gulf Coast Championship Wrestling, of course, and it's just, man, like there's just so many options out there. It's like we're living in another wrestling boom period. That it's not televised. You know what I mean?
We are in another boom period. It's about to explode because I think that WWE is about to tank, much in the way that WCW tanked way back when.
Do you know that the tickets aren't selling that much either for WrestleMania?
Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, I would imagine now they put it into two nights.
I would imagine it's already.
Go ahead, Kevin.
I would figure it was already sold out. I looked at tickets a couple of weeks ago, and they were expensive as hell.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's sold out. They're advertising the sale now. It's still on sale, the tickets. So it's not sold out.
Yeah, if they're still on sale, that means they have not sold out yet. When they sell out, that's when they really get crazy with the ticket prices. You know, they go to the second mark, Texas tickets and what have you. Philly tickets, whatever it may be in Philadelphia, Christian from Philly. But, you know, they go up in demand big time because you're getting them through a second or third party even. And so that's when but if they're still not sold out, here we are 2 weeks away. I mean, they're not doing very good. And, you know, one of the reasons could be, we've argued or talked about it here on the show, there is no Brock Lesnar this year. We never did get to hear that theme music that Christian liked so much.
Last night was the perfect opportunity for him to fucking return, and they blew it.
Yeah, you ain't lying.
Yeah,
that would have been perfect. Yeah, what happened last night would have been a perfect setup for that.
Fucking the bounty.
Yeah, I did not watch last night. I was reading, however, I was doing a good job today, trying to catch up, reading. I find that it's much better when I read them, the results. However, I ended up taking a little nap while I was reading the results. I never got around
what
to finishing.
Yeah, I know. Just kayfabe it, Chuck.
I will.
Let me cut in there real quick and say that this era in WWE is very comparable to what was going on in the early to mid '90s. They're getting pummeled by WCW right now, and pummeled by ECW right now, and ECW. Of course, representing all the indies, and WCW, of course, representing AEW. But their ratings are in decline, but they still have good talent, but they have shit storylines, and it's not enough.
ECW? What's ECW? I've never heard of ECW before.
He's talking about
AEW. I mean,
AEW.
Peacock. Peacock won't have ECW. I bet you they get rid of ECW completely, Peacock.
Well,
yeah.
They've already been. I was reading an article yesterday where they – actually, I didn't read it. I skimmed through it. But they're already – Peacock is already scouring through the database and taking out anything that they deem as or could be seen as racist.
Bullshit. Fuck Peacock.
They took away
– So I don't know what all they're going to take out, but a lot of shit has been, kind of iffy.
WWE Network was the greatest thing that happened to wrestling in for fucking ever. For us to get all three of those libraries at once was crazy, and it was too good to be true, obviously. This is bullshit.
And they fucked it up.
They took away the DX chop.
Oh, hell.
They took it out. They took the suck it chance out.
Just age restrict it. Where you gotta have a password and an ID, like your parents have to.
The biggest offense of them all, the very disrespectful thing they've done, they nuked Bobby Heenan's commentary.
Oh
really? My gosh.
That's disrespectful.
You know.
That's one of the most disrespectful things they did.
Somebody has to go through and listen to every match that Bobby Heenan commentated and pick out the stuff that was offensive. That's a funny job, actually.
That's disrespectful to that man's legacy. That is a disrespect.
So crazy.
Oh, man. That is crazy.
So that
but
seals the deal. I mean,
at.
Really, I'm not going to subscribe to Peacock. I'm not paying for the network again unless I get all the catalogs, unless I get all the pay-per-views. That's got to be the thing.
Oh, you'll get the catalogs, but you have to wait until August.
Wow.
Yeah, but if it's edited too, if it's edited like that, no.
Oh, yeah, we don't want
that. Damn, that gives me second thoughts too. But a lot of this editing shit it has a lot to do with this new era of people that are are leaders, so to speak. Yes,
cancel
the whole cancel culture that everybody jumped on the bandwagon with. I've
Thanks,
been against that cancel culture shit since it started. But, eventually it comes back to bite you in your own ass.
Yeah.
Anytime you start taking people's rights away like this, it's going to inevitably come back and bite you in your own ass. It's been proven time and time again.
I kind of want to hear from Albert on this because we tend to lean more babyface than anybody. Albert, do you think that there's things that justifiably, and I mean, I kind of think there is, but do you think there's anything justifiably that should be removed from the network and should just be wiped from WWE history to stop the next generation or people children from seeing it or anything like that?
Oh man, and that's a real tough question to even answer there. And let me just start by saying that there's some things and some traditions and some words, and I'm not talking about professional wrestling. I'm talking about just society in general, things that just need to be forgotten about and canceled, things in entertainment. I'm a little bit concerned about because then it becomes sort of the book burning type thing. Left as hell, man. I'm a huge supporter of all sorts of rights, but and cutting out the hateful things that people might say and hateful things that
that, you know, might offend people. And by offending people, I mean stuff that's, like, derogatory towards, like, you know, certain
things that are
sexuality,
out of control,
genders and stuff like that, too. Yeah, and a lot of it was like that. But at the same time, I'm thinking, like, this should be a starting point, like, today. Like, today is our fucking starting point. Going forward, we are no longer going to say certain things. We're not going to use, you know, any sort of derogatory terms towards anybody going forward. As far as what happened, the past needs to stay the past, because it's just, you know, it is what it is. And how else are we going to? I mean, I'm not saying learn from it, but just observe how things were different back then. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, the whole, like Pepe Le Pew thing. I mean, like, you know what? It's a false
narrative.
I mean,
if they delete all that shit, if they erase it, not to interrupt you too much, but if they erase it, then people aren't going to know what WWE really was. And they get to paint the new narrative of what they really are. And their whole legacy is built on this shit that they did do that was shady, right? So...
They better not do the matches that have blood in it, because I know people don't like it, but I liked the match between him and Triple H and Kevin Nash in Hell in a Cell. I like that match, even though people shit on it.
Yeah, exactly. And then, okay, but you got to understand, too, I mean, this is a violent, you know, this is a violent form of entertainment, whether it's performed, scripted out or not. I mean, like, even still today, I mean, it's still violent. I mean, you're putting people through tables. You're hitting people with chairs. It's violence, you know what I mean? So how far are we going to get, like, in the future where it's like, oh, sorry, we're using pillows from now on? Like, it's just it gets a little...
No,
you know,
It keeps going. Sorry, like your cartoons and your He-Man and shit, but those movies got to go, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry that you like rap music, but, you know, everything you've heard of in the past, erase it from your mind. We have to deprogram you and reprogram
you. You can't.
I mean, come on. It's not going to happen.
You can't erase things from people's minds, and I think that it still needs to be there to observe and to enjoy pretty much, you know what I mean? Like Eddie Murphy, you know, you watch Eddie Murphy Raw back in the 1980s. I mean, that shit was pretty funny, but... You think of some of the things that he said, you know, like he's talking about, oh, there's, and this is all quoting, you know what I mean? And, you know, he said something about the fags in the car that were waving their shirts around saying, pull over. You guys remember that joke? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's funny. But
and there won't be no siren on the hood either. It'll be a real F going,
exactly.
Pull over.
but okay, and that was, you know, because even like, you know, gay people would laugh at that joke too in the 1980s, and but it's not acceptable to make a joke like that nowadays, and that's kind of where I'm not on the fence about it. That's kind of just where my whole opinion on the whole cancer is right now.
Have you guys seen that episode of Family Guy? That they're like. Maybe mimicking Star Wars with the beginning, how they have the text and it's all like a triangle. And it says, sometime long ago, back when gays weren't all in your face about it.
Oh, my gosh.
Sometimes back when gays weren't all up in your face about it. And, I mean, you know, clearly it's beyond that even. We could sit here and talk about that. Or we could just call this the Full Tilt Boogie. And by the way, guys, there was a new commercial that was about to come out for them today, but it didn't get made. But the premise is that they do shows whenever the fuck they want. Because that's how Full Tilt Boogie they are. But I digress. Also, but since we're along those lines, though, I would like to take this time to welcome Chuck Killjoy, who will be coming to the network soon. I don't know anything about this fucking Chuck Killjoy. I don't know anything about him at all. But he's coming to the World Podcast Network, and so and also this,
was he in Retribution?
He could have been. I don't know. It's still, you know, the jury's out on him still. I don't know what the fuck he's about, but Chuck Killjoy is coming. And then also, coming April 1st, Now, unless this could be an April Fool's joke, who the hell knows? But of course, we have the world premiere of the part. And of course, that's Hollywood Tony P and Javi G. So yeah, Tony P and Javi G with the Party Podcast. And that show is booked for April Fool's Night. So yeah, check your local listing on that. But yeah, guys, so who knows where we go with this shit, man. But I was watching the it's funny that you guys mentioned this, because I was watching last night over the weekend. So I was out with my eyes. Still am suffering from an infection on my eyes. But I digress. But anyway, so I'm confined to the house and shit, watching the WWE Network, no less. And I was watching that war right when it started, the WCW and the whole thing with Ted Turner. And it's pretty interesting to go back and relive it, because back then I was not the mark that I am now. Like, I didn't have access to the rag, to the dirt sheets and all that shit, if there was any. I didn't look into it. So I just, you know, took what they showed me on air. And that's all I knew, and every week I was there, and sometimes I wasn't, because it was that bad, and I could give a fuck about it. And there were some times, like Kevier said, or Rancho Punk Rocker said earlier, that it reminded him of those times when it was, you know, really fucked up in the 90s. What was that, early 90s? That was a rough time right there. So we could be there, man. I mean, WrestleMania is not even sold out yet. That's a rarity. That, you know, right by now, it would have been sold out, and, you know, fucking tickets would be, you know, really high and shit, but that's not the case. But guys.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just simply not the case.
Another thing that's terrible is Andrade did an interview today explaining what's the situation. Apparently, apparently, Charlotte Flair... the WWE doctors thought that she was pregnant because some of her MSG levels, or what is it called, hormone levels was up, and they thought she was pregnant, so that she took a medical leave. So guess what that means, gentlemen? She fucking lied. She lied about having COVID. She fucking lied, everybody. She fucking lied. This isn't funny. This is serious. She fucking lied. She lied about having a fucking Verticillium disease. She could go fuck herself now. Fuck Charlotte. I hated her before. Now I hate her even more now as a person and as a wrestler. So guess what?
Stop.
Fuck
it.
Her. She's a fucking liar.
Stop it. You don't know her reasons.
No.
This
dude,
is all fucking
lied
TV,
about
bro.
COVID. Dude, she lied about COVID. She lied about having COVID.
So he said she did not have COVID?
She said she had COVID, but now she lied, because now it's revealed that the reason why she's out is because the WWE doctors thought she was pregnant. She lied, dude.
Okay,
she's
and so so obviously you're extremely bothered by this. Kevier, are you bothered? Charlotte Flair lying? What do you think about this? Kevier? On mute, maybe?
Oh, sorry, buddy. Hey, so it makes more sense to lie about it, or really to not give us a reason at all. They should have not given a reason at all, because they don't want to look bad by, you know, potentially having, like, a pregnant woman in the ring wrestling for, if it had been, you know, we don't know how long and stuff. And if she was having complications or something related to that, then that would be crazy. If the chick had, like, a miscarriage because she was wrestling, that would be bad. And Lord knows if that's happened in the past.
But she's not pregnant. But here's the thing, dude. She's not
That's
pregnant.
That's not what happened, yeah. Yeah.
She's
but
not
if the
pregnant.
The doctors thought she was, and they used COVID as a cover to try to make it look like something else, so that, I don't know if that's the thing. That's just where my mind went first. But I don't know. They could have just, they don't have to give us a reason why she's not on TV, right?
Yeah, I stay out of this shit, man. This is why I stay out of this shit.
They didn't have to. They didn't have to. Don't say she has fucking COVID and then have her say she has COVID. That's despicable, man. That's so despicable.
It is
bad. Yeah, it's a bad look. I will definitely agree with that. It is a bad look. But, you know.
Maybe she had COVID and maybe it was COVID and, like, it was a pre-existing, you know.
Yeah.
Say, like, maybe it was both.
Yeah. You know, it's like that movie where they don't really tell you the end, you know? They just kind of, yeah, Albert, Rancho Punk Rock, what do you think about this shit?
I don't know. I think it's just one of those things, maybe it got lost in translation. Maybe it's like, I'm sick, I might have COVID, and get COVID tested, and you don't have COVID, because that happened to me about 4 times already. And I had to get off work. And then when I went back to work, it's like, oh, man, do you have COVID? I was like, no. Like, I was sick, and I get a COVID test. It's one of those things where we don't exactly know what's going on.
Yeah, nobody knows. Here's the deal, man. It's one of them deals, like I said. You know, this is WWE not giving a fuck about what they do. They just throw it out there and run with it, whatever the hell. And, you know, they don't close out the fucking storyline. So for me to put energy into it and fucking get all fucked up about it, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to waste my time with that shit.
That's happened more than this year. I've been watching consecutively for the last, like, 8 years now.
It's a bunch of horseshit.
And it's happened more this year where they've created more storylines and dropped more storylines than ever before. I feel like I would like to see the stats on it. But we've had factions born and dismantled. And we've had crazy shit going on, dude. It's really weird.
And the thing is,
comparing it to early 90s wrestling is the best comparison, though. It's totally like that, where it's like how early WWF was.
Yeah, like the new generation era, where it's like they have all these stars, and it's just like, what the fuck is going on, you know? And I think that they really think that the fans don't notice, you know what I mean? I think they're just like, it's okay, nobody's really, I mean, so we're just so used to just fucking watching bullshit that it's like, sometimes I don't even fucking notice. I'm just sitting there like, oh, it's just... whatever.
Well, let me tell you guys a little tale here. And this just so happened 23 years ago today. We had Raw is War from Albany, New York. And the deal was Sean Waltman returns to the WWF. Now, he was last seen in the WWF in May of 1996. Which was ironically the night after the infamous curtain call, that his final match was taped a few weeks prior. And, of course, he was in rehab at the time of the match, the time that the match actually aired, okay? But check this out. He has really nothing to do with this, even though, you know, he had spent a year and a half in WCW at six and all that shit, right? But he really doesn't have anything to do with this, because the main thing that came out of this was that it was the first night the WWF show adopted the WWF Scratch logo. You guys remember that Scratch logo?
Yeah.
It was first introduced back in December of 97 and was used here and there and shit as conjunction with the New Generation logo until that night, right then and there, 23 years ago tonight.
Thank you, X-Pac.
All right. Yeah. X-Pac brought the Scratch logo with him. Isn't that fucking cool?
Yeah, it is cool. But there was some shows, right, where it's like they were using the Scratch logo, but the turnbuckle still had the old WWF logo.
Right.
And, yeah, I think that's kind of what you were talking about, right? Like they were just kind of phasing it in and phasing the other one out, right? Like,
Yeah.
It was like a weird time where it's like, is that the new logo? And then some of the toys, too. You guys remember the toys that were coming out around that time? They had the original classic WWF logo, but with the Scratch logo over it. It was really weird.
Yeah. Wow. I imagine that those toys would be more valuable to a collector than other toys. I mean, you know, you think about it. And so anyway, that was the story of the Scratch logo. And, of course, it went on to be used, you know, even after they had to change their name from WWF, as you remember. They, you know, kept on using it was WWE, but they used it in Scratch. Of course, they used it till 2014, back when they adopted their new network logo.
Yeah.
As their main logo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here
the
we are.
Scratch logo was the most iconic, most memorable, most badass one, and the new logo kind of sucks, and I hate the shape of the new belts and stuff. Didn't they have another belt? They had a belt before the Universal Championship that had that same shape, right? Did they use that that shape previously?
Well, let me tell you, it's interesting that you would bring that up, because the logo wasn't the only thing that changed the WWF. That, you know, they introduced the new World Championship belt. And a new belt maker. J-Mar was now their belt maker, and they busted out the Big Eagle.
The Winged Eagle?
Blue belt.
Yeah.
It was a blue belt, and then later became black, and it had the large, you know, centerpiece with the eagle and the side nugget. The belt then Stone Cold Steve Austin then had that same belt cut without knowledge from WWE or Vince McMahon. He had J-Mark create a belt just for him, the Smoking Skull belt. Of course, that would become a fucking huge popular seller. I don't think they make that one anymore. I don't know. I don't know if they do or not. But, yeah, that was a big deal when they were selling it. You guys remember any of these belts?
I was looking at belts the other day, and I saw one that I didn't remember when it was on TV, but it was the same shape as the belt they have now. But it was like a different logo in the middle. It like said World Heavyweight Championship in the middle instead of having the logo. But I don't remember that belt. But then I remember the Smoking Skull belt. Those are badass. And the Winged Eagle is the baddest ass belt they ever had, probably.
Yeah,
the WCW Big
belt.
Gold. I wish the Big Gold would have taken over as the main belt.
Yeah, me too. I really do. But were you asking, Kevin, if they used the WWE version of the Scratch logo on one of the current belts? Because I think they did for a few months. I think they had the Scratch logo on like, you know, the big W, the recent WWE Championship belt. I'm pretty sure that
no,
they
I
had
think
the
it's
Scratch.
I'll look it up and I'll send it to you guys after the show. But
yeah.
Man,
I think
did.
It was a little different than that.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah, like
the belts are cool. They have their own history in themselves. This shit's awesome. That's
right?
What they don't focus on is how much the belts really could mean and how, like, the whole shit revolves around these titles and, you know, it just gets lost. I sound like a mark, but still.
No, but, you know, you're entitled to sound like that. But check this out. Have you guys heard what they're doing in the NBA where it's, like, not even it's a fucking virtual card? Imagine if they had these on wrestlers. Like, all the indie guys could get paid for this shit, too. Look it up if
it's
you don't know what
now?
I'm talking about, and we'll... They're doing this in the NBA. It's like a virtual fucking card. You don't even really ever hold it. And people people are fucking trading these up and buying them and shit. And, you know, they're only worth what you're willing to pay for them. I mean.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I know what you're talking about electronic transfer cards. Like you can make a drawing. And somebody can bid on it, and it becomes worth something. But it's like, and then some of the stuff, like say, like a basketball card or something like that, will sit in a vault somewhere, and you never actually see the card; you just own it.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
It's 2021, man. Got to get with the times.
Yeah. So, like, supposedly it like protects the integrity of the card. You know what I mean? Like it's like you own it, and you it's like a EFT, I think it's what it's called, electronic transfer fund, and yeah, it's one of those things. Like it's just like one of those new age things. Like,
hey, don't forget, everybody, we have a show coming up with Lou. of course, this is Tony's dad, who's a big fan of wrestling. So I don't know. I'm thinking maybe Christian will host that and I produce. And, of course, I will be part of the show as well. Yeah.
Yes, I will.
Let me talk to Lou about it, see if we can do that. And you guys are welcome to call in. This will be during the daytime. The last
time
we did this, I believe it was like noon my time, I want to say. So it'll be somewhere around there. It'll be after the old man has his coffee and, you know, takes his shit, I'm sure. But, man, he's a great guy. He's a great guy, and you guys are going to love him as Lou makes his return to the World Generation Podcast Wrestling. Yeah. to the fucking World Generation Podcast Wrestling. Get the fuck out of here. No, but guys, you know what time it is? I'll tell you what time it is.
What?
It's time to fucking... It's time to play.
Ladies and gentlemen, name that tune.
And, of course, this has nothing to do with Name That Tune. This is our version of it. And we call it Name That Superstar. And so that's what we're going to do here. Yeah, we're going to name that superstar. And I've got some real doozies for today.
Uh-huh.
So let me see if I can – Christian, of course, is going to go first. So let me see if I can cue one up here real quick. And here we go. I've got it ready. Christian, you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Here we go. Christian?
Can you give me a hint? What the fuck?
Oh, man. Shall I give... Let me see what kind of hint I can give you. Let me play it again.
I don't know. Give me a hint, bro. Because...
All right. He wore a hat.
That's a hint? Okay.
He wore a fedora hat.
Okay.
Maybe not a fedora hat, but he wore some kind of hat.
Escobar Estradas? Is it Estradas? Escobar Estradas? I don't know how to pronounce his name, but I know it's the guy who managed Umaga. So is it that guy, Escobar Estradas? I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Is it Armando Alejandro Estrada? I think is what Christian is saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Setting the tone. Holy shit.
That's all.
I would have never got that guy. Albert, did you have any idea who that was?
I knew exactly who that was.
Did you? Holy shit. That's
like
a great
that
answer. That's a great answer.
I like that.
Kevin, did you have any idea who that was?
Hell no.
That's a great answer, too. That's my answer. I'm like, hell no, I would not know. I would have not known who that was. I used to like that guy, too. I thought that guy was very entertaining as Umaga's manager.
Yeah. So,
Christian with the burn. Christian with the burn. Let's go with round two. And let's see what we got here. Kevier. Kevier for round two.
Aight.
So here we go. Kevier, round two. Something's running through her head, Kevier.
Come on. Come on, Kevin.
I know that fucking song. I mean, I know the song really well, but I didn't know somebody used it as a theme song.
I love this song.
It's a female.
It would be, is it WWE, I guess?
WWE, yes.
Okay. That's the only clue I want.
The Heidi Rank?
I will give you one final hint. One final hint, Kevier. 2000.
Yeah, I mean, I know the timeline. It had to be back then, so I'm going to think. Jeez, I don't know. I don't know who. Man, I don't know who would have used that. I would think maybe. I'm going to make a stupid guess. I'm going to say, like, I don't know who was wrestling during that time, but I guess like Kelly and those chicks were. But that's not my answer. I'm gonna say like Maryse, maybe like her first theme. That's probably way wrong.
Is
I don't
it,
know who.
Is it Maryse?
I don't know when Maryse started either. So
Victoria.
I was off my timeline.
Oh God, Chucky, let's steal it.
Oh shit! I forgot to give you guys a chance to steal it. Damn it! I fucked up right there, guys, and my apologies. Albert is highly upset, as he should.
I couldn't see Victoria using it. I was thinking of those era chicks, and then I couldn't see any of them using it.
I'm over here fucking it up for Albert.
All right.
As I should. Yeah. So Albert,
Tattoo, right? And it was a song. I remember that song. I remember thinking how stupid it was.
It was a good song.
It's a good song, and they had another good song on that album, actually. But they were totally like a gimmick band where they were like marketed as lesbians, and the chicks like weren't about it. I don't think.
Sacrifice. That's the song, yeah.
I thought it was
All right, here we go. Let's continue the round. Let's see if Albert has got it here.
Bullshit, but
now,
oh my. I know.
Before I ask, do you? You know?
Yeah, it's like 1999 era, and I have an idea of who it is. I don't want to blurt it out, but can you give me a clue? Because I think I know who it is.
Well, I have no idea who the fuck it is. I had never heard of this guy ever before until I just came across him. I had actually heard the name, but I never knew that he wrestled with WWE.
Or I think it was WWF at the
time. Or WWE, let's see, was it F? He also did World Championship Wrestling, Extreme Championship Wrestling, and World Wrestling Federation, and runs in 89, 95, 97, 2001, and 2002. And this is from 1997, I'm almost positive. Let me check it out.
Okay. He's totally throwing me off.
That's the head. That's some heavy shit.
I got one, but I'm not.
Oh.
I think I might know who it is.
Dude, I could have sworn I thought this was Crash Holly. And I don't know if he was using the same things on that Bob Holly was using for a while, and then he got his own theme song. I'm pretty sure he used this theme song too. So it could be another case of company reusing theme songs.
Stop it.
And I think I didn't even guess yet. I knew I was gonna win with Victoria, but go ahead, whatever. Crash fucking
Crash Holly.
Done.
Okay, so let's see, who gets the steal?
Me, I get the steal.
Oh, man, for the game already? Damn. The fucking...
We still
it should be Christian Joykill instead of Chuck Joykill or Killjoy or whatever the hell. Who the fuck is this clown, Chuck Killjoy?
Yeah.
I digress. He's coming to the World Generation Podcast Network, and we'll see what that's about. But Christian, do you have any inkling as to who that might be?
Can you give me another hint?
Oh, hell.
He doesn't know who it is. He said he had heard the guy's name, but he doesn't know who he was. And he said he wrestled in WWF, WCW, ECW, and his latest run was 2001-2002, and he had a run.
He's also with TNA. He had a good run in TNA. Ring of Honor. He's been everywhere.
Huh. Hey. Let's see.
What a heavy ass wrist. That's
yeah.
Some heavy shit.
Okay. The only person that I could think of, and I know I'm probably going to get wrong because it sounds just like his theme song, what he would come out with, would be the Sandman.
Is it the Sandman? Yeah, that's a damn good guess, too. Kanye could come back.
Oh, my God. Now I'm like, Kanye? I'm not sure. Okay.
One more time.
Was it Lance Hoyt?
Is it Lance Hoyt? Is it?
I get what I get another steal.
Nobody's
gonna get this. That was 27 years ago, actually. Lance was a stupid guess. He's old, but he's not that old.
I was thinking another Lance. I was thinking Lance Storm.
Lance Archer. Is it Lance Storm?
No, Lance Hoyt is Lance Archer, but he was older in 2007, 2008.
It's Vance Joy. No, I don't know who it is.
Who is this guy? Who is this guy, Minister?
I was thinking Bill Buchanan.
Who?
It's freaking Jerry Lynn.
Jobber. Jerry
who,
Lynn.
Jerry,
come
who
on.
The fuck would get Jerry Lynn?
Fucking shit.
Jerry Lynn.
Come on. You don't know who Jerry Lynn is?
I know who
know
Jerry Lynn
song,
is,
obviously.
But who the fuck would get him?
No, I mean, Chuck doesn't know.
I don't really know who he is. I mean, I guess I've seen him around, but.
His most famous match probably was with RVD at Living Dangerously, I think. And it was a fucking amazing match. I watched that match.
Yeah, he was amazing.
Was this in 99? 2000?
Yeah.
Somewhere there?
Yeah. 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 It was him and RVD, and they had a classic. And one of Jerry Flynn. Now, Jerry Lynn is the guy with the mullet from WCW with the kickboxing gimmick. But
Jerry Lynn is the one you're thinking of. ECW was Jerry Lynn.
Yeah, Jerry Flynn was WCW chopper.
Yeah.
And I like that.
They had a match. Him and RVD have a match on YouTube where neither of them take a bump. Like, it's like a 15-minute match, and it may still be that match or maybe a different one, but they don't bump for the first, like, 10 minutes or 15 minutes of the match.
Oh, yeah.
They just
go
back and forth and counter each other.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Wow. Stumped everybody. And,
yeah. I still got 1 point ahead.
You are. You
I got
are
my timelines all out of whack. I was, like, guessing the wrong era of people way too early.
Well I would have never guessed that guy either. But he popped up when I did, you know, one of them. I downloaded one of them, and then this guy's music popped up, and I just by shit, I clicked on it. I was like, holy crap, these are fucking vicious fucking riffs.
Jerry never really had he was a top guy in ECW.
Little guy.
But he was always jumping from place to place, like you said, like the minister run down the whole like list of companies that he's worked for. He was always like in one company for like 6 months and then out and then in and out and in and out. So it's not like he had memorable matches.
The only reason why they never put him over is because he looks old.
Yeah. He looked like Mickey Rourke in The Wrestler for sure. Like it's like that character was modeled after that dude.
He even looked old in the 90s. He looked old.
Yeah.
He looks the same now, right? And he was in AEW recently, I think. And or was he? Yeah, I think
yeah,
he was.
Yeah, I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah, and he looked exactly the same.
So, yeah, Jerry Lynn stumped everybody. Guys,
hi,
we have a little birthday today. Mike IRS Rotunda. Isn't that like
hey.
The Fiend's dad?
Yeah, and Bo Dallas' dad, too, by the way.
Yeah, from IRS came the Fiend. Holy shit, what a monster he created, huh?
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah.
I'm still more afraid of the IRS.
Yeah, the IRS.
I know, right?
You guys remember that the IRS had a sweating condition where he sweated a lot? He sweated like a motherfucker in his matches. It was so disgusting.
I'm talking about VK Wall Street like that.
You know whose birthday it is also today?
Who?
Trent Beretta.
One of the best.
Yeah, yeah.
One of Edge's guys? Wasn't he one of Edge's guys?
Well, that was Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder.
Oh, yeah, okay. Trent Beretta's the other guy. That's right, Trent Beretta. He's a different guy, yeah. You know whose birthday it is? Yeah, April 1st coming up? None other than Randall Keith Orton.
Oh, yeah?
April 1st. Holy shit.
He's going to be in the doghouse on his birthday.
Yeah, he's going to be fighting with himself for some crazy shit. But you know what else is going on that day? It's the fucking premiere of the Tony
Chuck.
And Hobby G.
Isn't it so cool that you were able to get Miz and Morrison to help you record that song for that podcast?
Yeah.
I know. I mean, I don't know where that came from, but yeah, thank you for setting it up, by the way. Thank you for setting it up.
Or is it gonna premiere? Because it is April Fool's, you know. So.
I don't know, man. We'll see. We'll see what's going on, but... I don't know. I think it is, but we'll see. We'll see. It's up in the air. These things are all up in the air, and no one knows anything, and everybody's cool with everything, and that's just the way it is, and that's the way it shall be. But I digress. So let's move on. You know what? It's actually a good time to take a fucking break. How about that? Go get. Are you guys drinking tonight? Is anybody drinking some whiskey or anything?
Hell yeah!
I'm drinking some.
Me and my beautiful girlfriend, Teresa, and my cousin, Tyler Finker, here, we're smoking a hookah and having some Maker's Mark.
Nice. One of my favorites, man. When I go out to the Toyota Center, I get a double Maker's Mark on fucking ice, and I go back to my chair, and I'll sip on that for a while, and then I go up and get another. Those things are fucking $22 each. But, you know, you don't have to go up as much. You don't have to go up as much when you get a double, though. I mean, they pour that shit in there, man. But I love the Maker's Mark. But, hey, you know what? We'll be right back after these words. Stay right where you're at, huh? Don't go anywhere, yeah.
Yeah, ਪੰਜਾਬ ਤੁਹਾਡੀ ਨਗਰੀ ਦਾ ਲਾਂਦਾ ਗੇੜਾ ਮੋਦੀ ਅੱਖਾਂ 'ਚ ਅੱਖ ਪਾ ਕੇ ਵੇਖਾਵੇ ਹੋ ਮਾਈਕਲ ਲਾਲ ਕਿਹੜਾ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਪਾਵੇ ਦੋ
Me encanta ese grupito. Tremenda máquina. Bugatti, papá. Wow, ¿quién entra allí? Oh,
yo le dije a este muchacho que solamente me lo lavara, pero que no lo trajera aquí porque
mira,
no quiero.
Mira,
que
es de juguete lo tienes tú.
Bueno, sí, el mío es de juguete. ¿Ah?
El mío no se viste así.
¡Ay, papá! ¡El conejo malo!
¡No!
¡Está pegado! ¡La está rompiendo! ¡A en la China, Royal Rumble. Dale, Mario, con nosotros, familia, que manden a Raw.
You're listening to Fatal Four Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network.
People everywhere are signing up to join
WrestleCorp, WrestleCorp.com.
Enlist yourself in the best wrestling news, wrestling opinion, and of course, the best wrestling commentators in the history of mankind. Grab your gear and join
WrestleCorp.
Sit yourself down in the gorilla position and come join the fight to make wrestling a worldwide phenomenon. Join
WrestleCorp, WrestleCorp.com.
From bell to bell, are you ready?
Friendly Fire Cigars. Come on in and enjoy the game. Come on in and relax with friends. Come on in and light them up at Friendly Fire Cigars, where they carry top brands such as Arturo Puente, DAO, Romeo and Julieta, Avo, Monte Cristo, Ashton, and many, many more. Friendly Fire Cigars, where they have amenities such as comfortable leather seating, 4 HD TVs with 4 separate cable receivers, Netflix, Wi-Fi, cigar locker rental, patio seating, and much, much more. Where do you want to go? Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire Cigars. 1905 South Derry Ashford, Friendly Fire Cigars. Get there. Welcome back to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. I am the resident heel, Minister of Sinister, and I've got the unusual suspects with me, Rancho Punk Rocker Albert Inspected, Peacemaker Kevier West, and the Swami,
Yeezy,
Christian from Philly. Guys, WrestleMania. We're still, are we really talking about this? I mean, or we can go on playing games.
We have to talk about the bullshit.
Let's talk about the bullshit that happened on Raw.
All right.
There's things that, like, if you didn't watch Raw, Chuck, you're about to be in, buckle up, brother, because Raw just shook some shit up.
Nice. Hit us up.
Bullshit. So we start Raw off, right? With fucking her business. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The ex-business, because the business is closed. Because we start things off with a show, they break up the Hurt Business. Fucking MVP and Bobby Lashley kick fucking Shelton Benjamin and Cedric to the fucking curb. They've broken up. And they had a match later on between Shelton and Bobby Lashley. But the fact of the matter is, the fucking Hurt Business is fucking breaking up. What the fuck, man? How can you break up the best fucking faction in the entire show? And now, it's obvious now Bobby Lashley's losing the title of Mania now more than ever. So obvious now. So great. Where does Cedric go from here now? Huh? That means basically they turned this guy heel for nothing. Because now he has no tag titles, no faction. And the next night after Raw, last night, he faced fucking Shelton Benjamin on main event. So what the fuck, man? Fucking horrible. So already it's starting off bullshit. What are your thoughts about any of that, Chuck? The fact that the Hurt Business got broken up?
Well, I think it's a travesty, man. I mean, you know, it's like I said last week. Bobby Lashley, he had that. I saw a promo just today. I was watching clips. I guess this was a promo of last week that I watched today. And it was Bobby Lashley doing his 16 years promo. I did read that he had a horrific promo last night that led the way. Now, I have not seen the clip of it, but I heard that the promo, that the promo itself was horrific.
He's terrible. He's
and
fucking
so I'm
terrible.
Like, shit,
you
man.
You...
He's back to everything he touches turns to shit? Is this where he's back at already? How
he's
the fuck
back.
Did this happen?
You wonder why
no.
it took 16 years for this guy to be world champion? Because he fucking sucks. He's trash.
The thing, it's so stupid to take it all away from him because Hurt Business is obviously the thing that put him over, and it made the most sense for this dude. And yeah, they took it away from him. And you know,
it
I
hurt.
Still have faith in Bobby Lashley. I still have faith in Bobby Lashley because I saw this one glimpse of it, and I haven't watched him fail his whole career like other people have. So he's still kind of new to me. You know, he's been here for a few years, a couple of years now, whatever. But shit, I don't know.
It's
so stupid to break up Hurt Business. The strong factions and the weak factions. You know, Retribution broke up. It was born for some reason. Then the Hurt Business was way more badass than they ever wanted, than they ever thought Retribution could be, and they broke it up too.
For me, hearing about it week after week, and it only got worse this week, it's like they're pulling the fucking rug out from under me as well. I mean, I really like this faction. Here I've been saying
what
MVP
cool
doing some of the best work of his career and shit, and fucking here Bobby Lashley is doing some great work and shit, and then they take it all away from him, expose him on the mic the way they did last night, I guess. I've not seen it, but I read that it was terrible by Christian's reaction. It had to have been.
He's trash! This guy's fucking garbage! He can't get over by himself. He needs other people to get him over. That's how terrible this guy is. How terrible he is.
They had him in a great start.
Let me interject here. Man, okay. And this is like one of my big things going on this week, dude, and something that I've actually been thinking about a lot. And I've got, you know, I've got a theory about it, and I've got two theories about it, actually. And one of them is real quick, and it says for the last few months, a lot of people online on the dirt sheets, on just Facebook groups in general, have been saying that though the Hurt Business is the best thing since Evolution, or the Hurt Business is actually better than Evolution. So do you honestly think that Triple H, Vince McMahon, and the rest of the higher-ups are going to let a group surpass Evolution at all? And I don't think so. Especially, and I hate to say that there's maybe possibly, I'm not, I don't want to use that word, but is there a
connotation?
Race, exactly. Is there a little hint of racism there? I don't want to say it. I don't want to think it, but it could very well be from some higher ups. And that's just one theory as to why they've broken up. Another theory of mine, which is a little bit more optimistic, and of course I've been very optimistic when it comes to all things wrestling and just WWE, you know, in general, is the fact that this is all a work within a work, and that, you know, they're all going to reunite at WrestleMania and help Lashley retain. Now, here's why. And it's just from the little things that I've seen, it's like, dude, it's like when Lashley attacks somebody, he destroys them. Look at Matt Riddle. Look at everybody else he's attacked. It's just, he just absolutely destroys them. He didn't destroy Shelton Benjamin. He didn't destroy Cedric Alexander. He just kind of like, you know, did a couple of moves on him and that was it. You know what I mean? So that kind of like led me to think that, okay, is this guy, or maybe it's just poor booking, who knows, but is this guy really destroying him? Is he really attacking him? Because when Bobby Lashley's pissed off, he's pissed off, of course. So it seems to me that this could be, and I'm like I said, I'm being optimistic, that this could be a work, that the Hurt Business, not Cedric Alexander and not Shelton Benjamin, were banned from ringside, but the actual Hurt Business was banned from ringside. So if the Hurt Business is disbanded, the Hurt Business is this, then of course those guys ringside and do what they need to do to make it happen and then reunite after the fact that Bobby Lashley retains his title at WrestleMania.
Whoa.
That's just thing that I don't think maybe – this is me coming from, like, you know, just a creative standpoint story arc, you know, because I always talk about
story
arcs.
It would make MVP so badass. That would, like, make MVP, like, the best manager ever.
I was reading about MVP, or I'm sorry, about the Hurt Business today, and in reading that, I got the and I saw a little small clip, very small clip, of Lashley doing what he did. And I thought, what if he does retain at WrestleMania? You know, I would love to see it. I would love to see him retained by some, even whatever the hell happens. I would just love to see
me
him
too,
retained.
Me too. Me too.
So what if he does retain? I would like to see it. I would be cool with it, and that would be great. Because other than that, I mean, you know, it's always been very clear to a lot of people that Vince himself is the head Klansman. I've never seen it. But there's always been rumblings of that going on in the chat rooms and shit like that. I've seen that. I've seen that a lot, actually. Not in recent times, because I don't do any of those rooms or anything like that anymore. But I have, and I've seen plenty of that shit. And, of course, you've seen it yourself. There's things that suggest that he is, you know, but, you know, I'm not going to say it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Albert,
because, like Albert said. If it's not true, then you're just talking about somebody in the most negative light, and it's not true. And that's, you know, whether we're a tiny podcast like we are, or you know, even if we're talking about the biggest player in pro wrestling or in media today, it doesn't really matter, because those words carry, and it's very hurtful. So that's why I don't want to say anything. But I'm insinuating that there could be something maybe in production or in producer wise or higher up in general. That might have some sort of inkling towards that, you know?
Yeah. Man.
So.
Imagine a world where the Hurt Business was bigger than Evolution 2. That would be great. That's what we want, right? Like a faction that just, we want stuff on our TV that's bigger than anything we've ever seen on TV before.
Yeah, exactly.
So why not let these guys get over as much as they can? It's so crazy.
Christian?
So, yeah. So it gets worse from there. It gets worse. We have the segment. Shane McMahon, fucking done with this guy. Get this guy off the television. I don't know why he keeps agreeing with these fucking shitty feuds, but it's fucking awful. We have fucking Shane McMahon pulling up Braun Strowman's fucking report card and doing a report card saying how dumb Braun Strowman is. This was fucking terrible. This was go away heat.
This is the article that put me to sleep. This is the article that put me to sleep. I was like, holy shit, Braun Strowman is even bad in articles. He was horrific in that as well. The whole thing is fucked up, man.
It's
but, yeah,
awful.
Exactly.
And now,
the whole thing is fucked up, man. And it's just
and
terrible. I can't watch it.
And it's somehow worse because guess what? It proves that he is a fucking idiot. Because guess what? The match that he wants against Shane McMahon is a fucking steel cage match.
Yeah.
He's a fucking idiot. Anybody could interfere in a fucking steel cage match. They could walk inside the door, climb up the cage, or even yet, Strowman could power slam Shane McMahon through the cage and Shane wins. It just proves that Strowman's a fucking idiot. A steel cage match isn't going to help him win. It's going to make him lose even more, the fucking idiot.
I'm not finished with you!
He's an idiot. This motherfucker, do you understand that Braun Strowman's track record with steel cage matches is not fucking good? He loses almost every steel cage match. So why the fuck did this idiot pick the stipulation that he loses the most?
I'm not finished with you!
Fucking idiot, man. He is an idiot. What are your thoughts on the idiot picking a steel cage match?
It's gonna be good action. I know that. It's gonna be, you know, 13 minutes or whatever of you know, the same shit we've seen from Shane. He's gonna
Chuck,
do.
How
a,
can it be
wait,
good action?
Call
Chuck,
the match
how
for
it,
us. Call the match.
Minister,
how does it go,
Minister? How could it be a good match when Shane's limited? He can't do all his crazy spots in a fucking cage. How could it be a good match?
He's going to climb up and jump off it.
No, he's not. He's not going to fucking do that. He's not going to fucking.
He's
going to fucking.
Okay, so picture this.
He's got
to
do the coast to coast.
Braun's going to be up on the top of the cage in one corner, like about to climb out. And then Shane's going to climb up the other corner of the ring. And coast to coast him from the top of this cage to the other side of the cage, no bounce.
Oh, they
wouldn't. Just straight steel cage and hops.
Okay.
They wouldn't do something cool like that. They're not creative like that.
It would probably be impossible to do, but still, he would die.
There is cool spots, right? And Shane does cool spots, but for what, man? For what? How the fuck is this going to help Braun Strowman advance his career? Shane McMahon's going to get the pop that he wants, and that's it, and go home and sit in the ice bath for 2 days and move on with his life. You know?
He might go get one of the Deshaun Watson massages.
During the whole segment with Drew McIntyre, he's running around in the locker room like, and there's like an open challenge to Drew McIntyre. Anybody that can beat Drew is going to WrestleMania. So the dude's like calling everybody in the locker room out, and he goes up to Braun. He's like, "Come on, Braun, fight me, dude." And Braun's like, "Nah, man, I'm gonna fight Shane instead, and then I'll fight you later, probably." It was the shittiest shit, dude. It was the worst part of that segment. It was like Braun just like refused.
Drew practically buried the whole roster. He buried him.
Yeah,
that was a cool segment, though.
That was a cool segment. We don't get to see that enough. That was funny.
You're right.
It made Drew look like a badass.
It did. But going back to the whole Shane thing, it's like, okay, back, 10, 15 years ago, or even like, a few years ago, like having a match with Shane McMahon was something like, it was like it was bound to help your career. Now it just feels like it's just Shane like jerking himself off for like 20 minutes. Like that's what it feels like now.
It keeps Braun somewhat relevant. Like, even if he's not at the top, at least he's still, like, technically mid-card. Braun hasn't gotten completely buried because he's
Shane
still wrestling.
Shane destroys wrestling careers. Have you not seen what he did to the fucking Miz? Now look at the fucking Miz. He's dressing up as a fucking rabbit, for fuck's sake.
Come on. Miz is over.
Miz is not over. No, he's not.
He's bigger than WWE.
No. Anyway,
I saw clips of the Miz too, getting out there ragdolled around and shit by everybody, by Bobby Lashley when Bobby Lashley took his title. It was despicable. The whole thing was despicable.
So yeah, speaking of Miz, we transitioned to the music video, Hop Hop, and the music was good. I don't like the fact that a former champion is dressing him as a rabbit, but the music was all right. It was better than Bad Bunny. But the real thing is Bad Bunny legitimately punches Miz square in the fucking face. It wasn't a fake punch. And I gave you a voice message, Kevin, last night, telling you that.
I was able to read it. I had some people over, but yeah.
So he legit the
voice to text of it. It was funny.
Yeah, so he legit punched Miz in the face. It was not a fake punch. It wasn't a work punch. It was a two punch. And yeah, I hope Bad Bunny, this is a fucking mistake. And if he legit hurts the Miz, oh fuck, this is gonna be a fucking mess. This WrestleMania, he legit punched him in the face. What are you guys' thoughts of Miz getting punched in the face by Bad Bunny legit?
He'll punch his ass at WrestleMania. He's going to punch him square in the jaw back. It'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Old school.
I guess another case of the Miz, like, just give it to me, man. Just punch me in the face as hard as you can.
Totally. Yeah. That's probably exactly what it was.
Yeah. Miz could have been marking out.
He probably told him to hit me, make it look real.
Miz could have been marking out, let's see, what's a good example? When Dean Ambrose was marking out when Jake the Snake Roberts threw the fucking snake on him.
Yeah.
And he was laughing and shit. He couldn't hold it. Because, Bad Bunny, he's Bad Bunny, and he's at his peak.
Miz and Morrison's song had some definitely offensive lyrics in it, dude. They go from speaking Spanish to, like, speaking mumbo-jumbo, and that was, like, really, I was like, oh, no, don't do that.
Was it crazy?
Yeah. I guess Morrison does speak Spanish. He's spoken Spanish several times, and he was Lucha Underground. He's worked in Mexico. I would think that guy does speak Spanish. And but yeah, there's definitely lyrics in the song where I'm just like, come on, guys, no, don't do this. But that's just that's the culture, right?
A friend
we got a stupid town next. We got a stupid town. we go to the contract signing between Rhea Ripley and Asuka, which Rhea does not deserve a title shot. She didn't earn shit. She just asked, and she just got it. So this is fucking bullshit already. So they signed the contract, and Asuka said
Wait a minute. I think you were saying she has to win to save the division.
She could win. I'm just saying she didn't earn this shot at all.
She didn't have to do anything. She just said, I want it.
Yeah.
Asuka gave it to her.
Well, the thing is Charlotte's out. She's out.
She's a placeholder. It doesn't matter. She's a placeholder.
So they signed
the contract, and Rhea flips the table to Asuka's face, and Asuka's on the floor, and she doesn't fucking get up. She's conscious, but she doesn't get up. While the fucking tag champs, again, out of nowhere, fucking come out and challenge Rhea Ripley and Asuka to a match next week on Raw for no reason whatsoever. And while all this is happening, Asuka is still on the floor looking fucking weak as fuck.
I didn't realize it, but you're right. She did lay down the whole time. That's a big deal, actually, yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
She looks terrible. She looked awful. She looked like she was crying. She was holding her mouth. Like, she was on the floor during the entire time. This makes her look pathetic.
What the fuck?
And Rhea Ripley, and for some reason, they turned Rhea Ripley fucking heel for no reason whatsoever. I'm like, what the fuck are they doing? Why is Rhea heel?
What did she do that was killed? Did she attack Asuka again or something?
They're going to have a tag match next week for no reason. And that's the go-home show. A tag match with the fucking tag champion. The same shit with the fucking Sasha and Bianca shit again next week.
Yeah.
It's fucking bullshit. This shit's stupid. What are you guys thoughts of Asuka looking... What do you guys thought of Asuka looking like a weak bitch?
I watched that segment. It was a funny segment. Like, the whole signing part of it was funny. And the Rhea's promo is, like, good. Her character's kind of like a throwback. Like, I don't know. It's like, if she was booked like that in the 90s, like, it would have been sick. That's just the vibe I get from her. But I don't know. It did make Asuka look weak to be laying on the ground that long. I guess they just did it so that the Nia and Shayna could cut their promo and, like, not change the scene up too much. You know, sometimes it's just like, you know, lay down while they cut the promo and then get up after that just for continuity or something. But it does make them look weak.
It makes it look pointless
for them to fight the tag team champions, too. It's a pointless booking to go into WrestleMania. That's like...
They always do this shit, though. I mean, it's so expected. They always do this shit where, like, you know, okay, so you're going to fight at WrestleMania? Yeah, you're gonna do that. But up until WrestleMania, you're going to be tag-teaming against these fuckers.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, they always do this shit. It's nothing new.
But to be against the tag-team champs, like, the go-home before WrestleMania.
Yeah.
The tag champs should be wrestling somebody else and be in a better feud than... You know, who are they wrestling at Mania?
They're gonna face three teams. Cause guess what? We're gonna have two Fatal 4-Way tag team matches on WrestleMania. We're gonna have a Fatal 4-Way women's tag match with the four teams of women's division, and then we're gonna have a Fatal 4-Way tag team match for the SmackDown one. We're gonna have two Fatal 4-Way tag team matches at WrestleMania. Doesn't that sound exciting?
Yeah.
Wow. Fatal 4-Way.
Yeah.
Wow. Fatal 4-Way. Wow.
Awesome. Albert, what do you think of Asuka looking like a weak?
I didn't see it. I'm going to have to go back and watch everything else. I really don't have an opinion on it right now, and I hope it's not as bad as you say it is.
Oh, man.
You know, Asuka looked good leading up to that. I like how Asuka mocks her opponents. Like, she just laughs in people's face and, like, she just was like, you're not ready. Like, the whole character of Asuka, I'm not mad at. Like, I like Asuka as the champion still. She's just been a bad run where she hasn't defended the championship very well and stuff. Like, they haven't given her opportunities to.
She has to stop saying nobody's ready for her. Everybody's fucking ready for her. Everybody can beat her at this point. Fucking Peyton Royce almost beat her in Monday Night Raw last week. Everyone can fucking beat her at this point.
Well, Peyton Royce deserves main event stuff before Rhea Ripley, honestly, in my opinion, but she wasn't an NXT champion and stuff, but Rhea's good. It's not that Rhea doesn't deserve this position. It's cool booking to be booked. I mean, good for her
she
to be booked. They've done it with...
What do you mean? She doesn't deserve it. She didn't earn it.
She's a good wrestler, bro. She's got a great look. She's going to be a big star.
Doesn't matter. If you didn't earn it,
they're
you don't...
They're strapping a rocket to her ass and shooting her to the moon.
She didn't earn shit.
What else?
She didn't win fucking shit. Next we have the bullshit. But the Randy Orton and Alexa Bliss bullshit where Randy cut his promo.
No.
Worst segment of this feud. Worst segment of this feud, in my opinion.
This isn't bullshit, Christian. You know what this is, right?
What?
It's a bunch of horse shit.
It is horse shit. So what were you saying? What were you saying, Kevin?
This is the worst segment they've shown in the Fiend feud. This was like pointless, and I was like, why the fuck did I tune in for this? Like, and I didn't tune in, but like I went searching for it. Like, I wanted to watch it. And Alexa just sits there, and she's talking about the Jack in the Box, and she's talking about how it's like, and it's actually a devil box where you write the spells on the box, and the demon soul comes out, I don't know. Her character looked cool. Her makeup looked cool. Alexa's cool. But this segment sucked ass. And then it just showed the Fiend sitting there on a swing, and he didn't say anything. And I'm just like, dude, I don't get worried about this right now.
This feud fucking sucks. I've been telling you that this feud fucking sucks.
Damn, I almost want to go back and watch it.
Think back to the segments that were, like, building, like, Kane and Undertaker and, like, Stone Cold and Undertaker and just like these darker feuds back then, and they had these build up things where they would be in a graveyard like chasing each other or something, you know.
Yeah,
they would be like, they'd be doing something crazy like this, like throwing each other in a hearse, whatever. I don't know, just come on, they could do better than what we've got in the last few weeks with this feed shit.
And right now they have the opportunity to do that right now with the stadium not being occupied. I mean, don't get me wrong, they got the fucking TVs there and the Thunderdome and all that shit. But they could be doing more cinematic shit, you know? And it could even be better than what it was back in the day because the technology is better.
They're not going to do a cinematic this year.
No, I understand that. But, I mean, you know, like Kevier was saying about the promos and shit, they could do those backstage and take advantage of time right now. I mean, you know, why the fuck do they have to be doing these promos out there in front of a bunch of fucking TVs? You know, when they could utilize their technology and do it, you know, do it right and just present it. I mean, what the fuck? There's nothing wrong with that. They used to do it back in the day. But it's all a bunch of horse shit.
This sucks. This feud sucks. So up next we had Drew McIntyre burying two talents in one night. Ricochet gets buried. He gets destroyed by Drew McIntyre. Like, Why the fuck is this guy still here at this point? Like, why?
He had heart. He went in there. He was like, "I'll fight you, Drew." That was like a valiant moment. He calmed down Drew too because Drew was on a rampage, and then Ricochet was like, "Hey, man, I'll do it." And then Drew was like, "All right, I respect you." And then they like went and fought. It was just a weird, like, it totally calmed the beast. Like, Drew was on a rampage, and then he just chilled out and was like, "Yeah, I'm a good guy. I love you.
Fuck
you. Let's wrestle."
Yeah. So Ricochet loses, and then the leader of former Retribution, Mustafa Ali, comes back with the worst looking gear ever.
In the brown
pants.
Awful. In the brown tights.
It's fucking awful.
No!
One of the worst wrestling gears I've ever seen him wear. Awful. He gives no explanation of what happens to Retribution. And I thought he was fucking injured. That's the whole reason why they broke up the group. I thought that he couldn't work because he's injured. Either they lied about that too, or he's working injured. Either way, that's a health risk. I don't know why he's working while still being injured. I don't know what for. But anyway,
he loses to Drew McIntyre because Mustafa was targeting his leg. So what's the point in targeting Drew McIntyre's leg? Like, I hate that in fucking matches. No, but it doesn't work. He still does the Claymore and wins. So there's no point in targeting his fucking leg. He still wins using the Claymore. So there's no point.
It's part of the story, though.
I know it's part of the story, but there's no point. He still hits his opponents with
the
Claymore.
He'll sell his leg really hard.
And then he hits the Claymore, and then he still wins. So there's no point in targeting his fucking legs. So it's pointless.
Because they're tree trunks, so, dude. You can't chop that thing down.
Yeah.
So there's no point. So then
he
grabs
like
Mike.
A badass. In that match, Drew McIntyre looked like a badass. And that was my takeaway from it. Was like, just thinking that, like, Drew is one of the bigger in-ring stars that they've had in a while. That, like, is fun to watch as a wrestler.
Yes, he's a badass. I'm not taking that away from him.
All we complain is that he should be healed.
Yes, he should be healed. So he calls out Bobby Lashley, and then they go to commercial break. Lashley comes out, and then Drew McIntyre makes him look like a bitch. Moves him out. He throws him out of the ring, and then out comes nowhere. Fucking from SmackDown, Baron Corbin comes out and takes the bounty, attacks Drew McIntyre, and then Lashley gets in and hits the Hurt Lock. What the fuck? Why is Baron Corbin involved in this shit now? He's from SmackDown.
To throw you off. To throw you off. It's a bounty. It's a bounty. Maybe Brock Lesnar will answer the bounty next week.
Hey, I marked out when Baron Corbin came out. I was telling my wife was sitting next to me when I was watching that.
By the way, we've lost Albert Inspected. I don't know what happened.
No, he texted. He said he was going to drop the call. He was going to drop on the call.
Oh, okay.
So, no, but, dude, Baron Corbin.
No, I marked out whenever Baron Corbin came out. It made Corbin look cool. Corbin actually, like, hung with Drew, and they were, like, the same size. I haven't seen those guys wrestle each other enough. And, honestly, like, Corbin, like, it was just really cool. It was a really heel thing for him to come out from behind and attack him in front of Bobby. And, like, Bobby's the one that put the hit out on him. Like, it made Corbin look like a nasty-ass heel. And he also hung
with
Drew.
But
he still got his ass
kicked. That's fine. Yeah, but that's fine. But the fact is, this should have been Lesnar. This was perfect for Lesnar to return. Take the bounty.
You're right.
Make it a triple threat match. But guess what else is fucking coincidental? These three were a team. Did you guys remember this? That these three were a faction once?
Lashley?
Yeah. McIntyre and Baron Corbin. Don't you guys remember these three were a group?
They were a group together in WWE.
When he was Constable Corbin, Lashley and McIntyre were with him. They were feuding with Braun Strowman.
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Constable Corbin, I remember that. That was cool.
Yeah. So that's a little bit of history in that. But that's the end of Raw. That was bullshit. Now, I want to say something right now about SmackDown real quick, because what happened on SmackDown last week was bullshit. Especially Daniel Bryan's concerned. Because Daniel Bryan, I don't think he's a fucking face in this story at all. I think they're all fucking heels in this fucking match, and I'll tell you why. All right? So Daniel Bryan opens the show.
I watched SmackDown, by the way.
Yeah.
So
you have to agree with me that Daniel Bryan came off not a fucking babyface in this. He didn't come off as a babyface. So Daniel Bryan opens the show, and he whines and bitches that he lost. He did make Roman Reigns tap, making Roman look weak, but the ref didn't see it, so it doesn't count. So what does this great babyface does? He fucking takes a steel chair, and he takes the show hostage. What a great babyface. He takes the show hostage, and he sits in the middle of the ring, and then we cut to the commercial. Let me remind you that his promo makes no sense whatsoever anyway. He said that he didn't want people who didn't earn their way to the main event of WrestleMania. What the fuck are you talking about? Edge fucking won the Royal Rumble. He did earn his way to the fucking main event, you fucking idiot. You were in the fucking Rumble. So then Edge agrees with me because he comes out, he cuts a promo saying that I outlasted 29 other superstars, including you, to win the Royal Rumble. You had two opportunities to face Roman, and you both lost. So Edge, and I agree with fucking Edge, Daniel Bryan did have two opportunities, and he lost twice. He doesn't deserve
to be the fucking hindsight, in hindsight, you're absolutely right. That is very heelish.
Oh, and not to help that Bryan is being a total shithead about it, like, and, like, instigating Edge and, like, talking shit to him like a heel would. He's still a babyface to the crowd, I guess, because it's Bryan, but it's like he's being a little he's being kind of like a little prick about it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. He's throwing his weight around.
And then what happens, what does this babyface does as Edge says all that? He beats the shit out of him. He fucking fights him.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? He beat the shit out of Edge for some reason. And then Edge, defending himself, he spears him and then beats the shit out of him. How am I supposed to boo Edge when he said was absolutely right? And then this babyface, for some reason, attacks Edge, and Edge was defending himself. So bullshit. And guess what? Later on during the fucking show, it's revealed that now it's a triple threat match. And I'm like, how is this guy a fucking babyface? He fucking whined and bitched and moaned to get this fucking opportunity. He didn't fucking earn shit to be in this triple threat match. All he did was whine and bitch.
Edge is a babyface in this match of anybody. Like, Edge is the clear babyface, I think.
Yeah, so how is Edge a heel in this situation? Daniel Bryan's the fucking heel. He's the fucking bitch who's complaining.
Yeah.
And he fucking weasels. And he weasels.
It's a cool
point.
He's
being booked
as a
heel.
It is weird that Bryan's still in it.
No, he has to be in it because they backed themselves in a corner. Either he or Edge has got to win this match. Well, unless if Roman retains.
Well, fine, if Daniel needed to be in this triple threat match, fine. Have him win a match to earn this spot. Now fucking have your fucking top babyface whine and bitch and complain the beginning of the show, attacks Edge for no reason whatsoever except Edge telling the truth, and then smirking about getting involved in a triple threat match, which he didn't earn.
Like,
that's not a fucking babyface.
It feeds into Bryan's character, though, because like that's how he got booked in the main event before, is he got screwed by the Authority. And he, like, called them out about it and said, like, hey, this isn't right. You guys have been screwing me since day one, blah, blah, blah. And then they booked
him
strong.
That's different.
So he's doing the same thing against Roman. Like, he's just saying, hey, this is bullshit. I actually made the champ cap.
So what? The ref wasn't down. That's different circumstances. He had a whole fucking company screwing him back then. It's just one guy.
Take a deep breath. It's going to be all right.
It's like... Yeah, like, that's different circumstances. This is bullshit. And he said he's tired of giving younger guys.
Here's what I would love to see. I would love to see fucking Roman Reigns come out of this strong and win. Strong. Spear both of these guys. Put one on top of the other and pin them both.
and have
him get booed the fuck out of Mania. And then the next night he comes back out and he says, that's right, I'm the head of the table. You people pay your hard-earned money to see
me. It's too late now, though. Roman looks weak as fuck now. Since he tapped out, now he's not credible anymore. Now he doesn't look tough.
I like Bryan's idea. Bryan had the idea first before they booked it as a triple threat to say, he said, well, y'all do your match on the first night of WrestleMania, and then whoever wins out of that can wrestle me the second night of WrestleMania.
I like that idea, too.
But that's also a heel thing to do.
Yeah, it totally is.
That's also a heel thing to do. So that's not fucking
fair.
That's
but, you know, they're painting Bryan as the people's champion. He's got the people behind him.
What people? It's fucking
robots. I don't know if he does, Chuck. I think Christian's right. I think the story they might be telling is that Bryan is, like, jaded and, like, blinded by his pride kind of thing. He's like, nah. And he's just like, he is kind of being like a chicken shit heel. You're about it.
Huh.
I don't know.
The more you guys say
it,
yeah, the more you guys say that.
Maybe they're not telling the story that deeply, but it makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. It does make sense. It makes
At this point, he's using the Yes Movement as a fucking cover-up. He's manipulating the Yes Movement at this point.
You know what? And it's funny that you should mention that, because when he first started doing the Yes and shit, and they also mentioned that he was the – I noticed in that episode they were mentioning that he was the leader of the Yes Movement. The leader of – they kept on expressing that. And, like, he had this look in his eyes, like, he was just going with it, but it wasn't, I don't know, it's kind of hard to explain. He looked like he was probably acting, because that's how good he is, to maybe give us a little, he was tipping, is what I'm saying. Like, in baseball, you tip your pitches, like, he was tipping his eyes, like, letting us know. And I don't know, I just caught that vibe when he first did it. And so now it absolutely makes sense what Christian is saying and what Kevier is saying, that he's using the fucking Yes Movement to, you know, in a heelish way. When will the people see it, though?
I feel bad for Edge because now the Royal Rumble concept is ruined. Like, what the fuck's the point of the Royal Rumble now? And now I'm hearing fucking rumors that Charlotte Flair might be involved in the SmackDown title match and it may be a triple threat now.
I don't know. They signed a contract already.
Now I'm hearing rumors of that now.
Well, they're still
in the Raw Championship or the SmackDown Championship.
There's still a week
SmackDown.
To go.
That's silly.
There's still a week to go. So we'll see how it develops. But
this is shit.
I think, yeah, it is. It's a bunch of shit. It's a bunch of horse shit. And I think this show has run its course, guys. It's a bunch of horseshit.
Yeah,
that's where we're at. So let's check ourselves out.
Yeah, I'll call myself out first.
All right. Hey, thanks for joining us, guys. And any live listeners out there, thanks for listening to us. We come out here and rant and rave, but we don't always do it. Sometimes we enjoy it, and sometimes we don't, and we hope that you agree with us. But I digress. Christian.
Thank you for listening in, guys. See you next week. And still, the reigning, defending, name that superstar toon champion, Christian from Philly.
Nice.
That's right, Christian. Nice. When he fucking got me right there at the beginning, I knew, I was like, oh, he's going to fucking win again. He stumped me right from the beginning. I had no clue. I would have never got that right. But, Kevier, close yourself out, my friend.
Yeah. No, thanks for listening again this Tuesday afternoon. We did go to Local Wrestling on the Villains this past weekend, and it was really dope.
Nice.
Check out Local Wrestling on Facebook. Check us out on Pro Wrestling Planet on Facebook. Need to post there more often. And, definitely call into the show every week. Don't forget to call in, tell your friends about us. If you like talking about wrestling, we'll listen to your opinions because we kind of all know exactly what each other are going to say at this point after doing it for so long. We did. Hey, guys, this is 1 year. I saw that on Facebook. This is 1 year that we've had this version. This is actually not 1 year.
Nice.
So I forgot to mention that sooner. I just remembered. But, yeah, this episode is episode 1 year anniversary. So
we can definitely pop a little bit of the bubbly.
Yes. And I'm sure our WrestleMania review will be great. Stay tuned.
Yeah, we're going to have to do maybe one night, two nights. I don't know. Stay tuned for that, too. And we'll do our predictions starting next week, I reckon. I think that's go-home show, right, next week?
Yes, sir.
So next week we start with predictions and then we go on to, it's coming. It's coming, guys. So, yeah, thank you so much for listening. And I am Internet Radio's own Minister of Sinister. And for Rancho Punk Rocker, I'd like to thank everybody for listening. Peacemaker Kevin West, thank you so much for joining us. And the Swami, we'll see you next time right here on Fatal 4-Way Radio. In the meantime, keep it real, keep it heel, and as always, keep it sexy. Peace!
This has been a presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.